Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
This is my first time speaking here on the conference. So that's there too. So it's just like I do acting and stuff. And so it's that same feeling, like, you know how you're sitting back in the cut before your time to come on stage and stuff. Nothing, I'm entertaining or anything, but you get this weird feeling in your gut. You're like, man, just hurry up and let me get out there. And you're just like, you know, I'd be like three things I'd be worried about. Number one, passing out. Number two, tripping and just being stuck like this, like in the headlights. That's the only thing I'd be like, as long as I don't fall. You know, if I trip, I might just walk out. You'd be like, damn, where are you going? I'm out of here. No, I'm done. I'm done for today. But the reason why it's tough right now, because we had about a month to prepare. And I was, not that it was fun kind of diving in and seeing where he was going with devotion and then using the scripture that he used. And for me, I'm getting back to studying, but I always, how many know that the Bible is a witness unto itself? You know, a witness unto yourself. So sometimes I was curious to see the connection that he was using. And he's like, Timothy. I was like, okay. And then from about a month when I started studying, I was just downloading. And I was like, man, so I want to get started. I'm going to just go ahead and read the theme verse, which is 2 Timothy. That really does help. That really does help. Yeah. I'm always the one playing, so it really does help. He was asking me earlier, he's like, do you need help? I was like, yeah, I do. It's like, you know. So this is going to be because I'm just trying to get my brain going. It is 2 Timothy, because I get 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy really mixed up, and I just be like, wait, is it 2 Timothy? I'm like, okay. So I'm just trying to keep things light, because sometimes God gives me a word, and truths can be very confrontational. It can be very, you know, God can be right in your face, you know? So I'm just trying to see where I'm going, where he's having me go with this. So I'm just going to do the scripture, 2 Timothy 1 starting, you know, 2 Timothy 4, 1, and I'm just going to go all the way down to the whole part. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing at his king and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But be watchful in all things, enduring affliction, do the work of the evangelists, fulfill the ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this word. I ask that you just flow through me, give me the words to say, help me to be able to just put it all together, Lord. And may you get the glory, may it touch somebody, may it penetrate the hearts, and may it begin to grow and change lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, as I was doing my study, I picked out words that coincide with devotion. And he just told me to just do that. So I'm going to just list them all out. Steadfast, wholeheartedness, warmness, which was weird. I was like, okay. Commitment, attentiveness, closeness, constancy, care, worship, dedication, caring, sanctity, fidelity, loyalty, holiness, And they didn't put these ones in, but I knew these ones were in there. Faith, truth, trust. And last one, significance. Which leads me to what do you ask me to approach you guys with? Now, one thing he was asking me to do was, I can preach and tell you guys, you know, a list of things. Go ahead and do these, do that, don't do this, do that, stay here, worship, come to church, read your word. Those things are all good and well. Those are practices. But I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Proper perspective. See, this is a whole bunch of notes, man. I'm telling you, it's like 3 pages. I'm like my dad. Remember the yellow pages like this? She knows. That's why I'm glad she's here, because she knows. So, devotion. In order to devote yourself to something or someone, a lot of times we as church kind of get people into behaviorism, get them to say, do this, do that. But we never ask the question to who and to why. We constantly just tell you, oh, do this. But do you ever know why? Or do you know who to do it for? To know the who and what is more important than the action itself. It's far more vital. See, we talk about the branches, but we never talk about the root. So as much as I want to tell you to do these things, this day and age we're talking about today is getting back to the root. A part of worship is getting to the root. What's in my heart? What's going on? What is the truth? You know, part of acting is people think it's about deceiving. I'm an actor, so I'm going to use a lot of references to it. But my instructor used to always tell me, he's like, it's not about deceiving. It's about what's the truth. And a lot of times he'd be like, you guys deceive yourselves. He said it in a much more cuss word-y way. But he was like, you guys are deceivers of yourself. You act like you don't know what it's like to be mean. You act like you don't know how to be a jerk. You act like you don't know how to do this. You come real brand new when you guys come here. And it messes up our acting. He's like, what's the truth? So what is the truth? What is the root? Because I can tell you to practice something, but the root, if the root is not deep enough, you will fade out. You will get frustrated, and you will fade out. So I go to James, and he says, faith without works is dead. But works without faith is meaningless. Faith is a seed. It makes a tree. But without a seed, you can't plant anything. So what is the root? What is the question? Why do you come to church every day? Why do you lift your hands up? Why do you sing? Why do you do this thing? You know, as time goes, my reason for getting saved has evolved from the day I got saved. You know, desires begin to be purified. So I have to ask myself every day, why? Why do this? Why get up? Because without conviction, trust me, I would not be here. And so we're in this day where when we talk to people, we're getting to the root of what's going on. So that's vital. It says, we'll go to, if you can put up Matthew 15 and 8. You guys, many know this. You know about the scripture that talks about the Pharisees talking about, many say, Lord, Lord. I think they're talking about this this is the one. Could you put it up real quick for me? Oh, it's up here. Okay. I thought it was going to be here. Oh, this is perfect. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is a relationship term. And the root really comes down to, yes, you need to know the who, but it really comes down to, what do you want? What do you want? See, a lot of times when we talk about, and there's many other scriptures that talk about, it says, you know, just kind of coincide in Matthew 7:21, it talks about many people say, Lord, Lord, in that day, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And he says, depart from me, the worker of iniquity. And many people have many kind of definitions about iniquity. Iniquity is a heart posture. If you notice in Psalms, David talks about his heart posture. He's like, iniquity. He doesn't really say sin. He says iniquity. That's that hidden agenda. That's where the real motive is. Like when you pray and you know you got something that you really angry about somebody and you ready to take off on them and it's there while you're trying to pray. And he's like, that iniquity, where is my heart posture right now? Because I got all these issues I'm going through. And I got all this thing going on. So I can't really serve you like this with this. So forgive me my iniquities. Clean that up. Examination, that is a part of devotion. So he uses a relationship term. Many married folks in here, so they know, like, marriage is important, but the reason why you got married is just as vital. And the reason why it's so vital, because you know, if you're wise, you know what's coming. You know the temptation's coming. You know these things are coming. You know hard times coming. The Bible doesn't say anything about hard times not coming. Actually, it tells you plainly. And while we're kind of going through this thing, I may pop up and just break some disclaimers. So there's a disclaimer, and there used to be a disclaimer in the church that used to say, well, if God didn't tell you, told you what you was going to go through, then you probably wouldn't do it. First of all, God is not a manipulator. He tells you exactly what you're going to go through if you're listening. He ain't got to sit there and play no trickery games with us. Like, he knows exactly. He'll tell you exactly. Various trials are coming your way. And then he goes to the next part in James. He says, various trials are coming, so don't be double-minded. It's like, he's not sitting there, oh man, I don't want you to leave, so I don't want you. No, I'm telling you this because I want you to prepare your heart. Jesus hid nothing from us. He said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. That's part of the devotion. So, examination. If you go to read Psalms 139, David says, you know me from the inward parts. Inside out, you created me, you fashioned me, you wonderfully made me. It's like, you know, when I come to you, you know already. It's no point of putting the mask on and acting like it's okay and all this. But that's what it is. To sum that up, it's, what is your devotion built on? To build a house, the foundation is the hardest time before the house is built. It's the most crucialest time. It's where you have to be the most precise and you have to be the most critical. Because if the foundation is not set, it'll crumble. So what is your devotion built on? Many, like it says, heap up the fables. Many in the religious and the secular world, we have these things that we put in our minds that we try to build on. We have to be careful of it. Many have reduced it to, and I'm going to use some scholar terms that they use, pragmatical system, a system of doing. If I do this, I'll be all right. If I do this, that, and the other, I'll do this, and then I'll be all right. Some come from an epistemological system, a system rooted in thought and ideas. You got to have the right thoughts and write this and write that. And don't get me wrong, all those things play into Christ. A system rooted that is sociological, a system rooted in identity. And lastly, existentially, a system in right feeling and experience. If the faith in Christ has always been reduced to nothing but a feeling, I'm going to stay there for a minute, because a lot of times, not only in church, but even in the world, they always base their faith on the feeling. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing more euphoric than having the presence of God come in the room. It's nothing like the experience. There's nothing like the mind-changing power of Christ. There's nothing like that. To know your identity, there's nothing like that. But if it's all just reduced in that, then you're missing a whole bunch of what you really God has in store for you. So what do I sum this up in? Devotion is built on knowing Christ. Many have an experience, but did you have an encounter? And it's a series of encounters. It's not just, oh, the day I got saved, you know, I came to Christ and, you know, no. Salvation is the first yes of many. It's a continual fellowship with him. So you're wanting to know how this world works. You want to know what life. One preacher said, knowing, coming into the encounter of Christ is not a day in a life. It's the moment you meet life. Jesus says, he who has me has life. That they were asking him, what can we do to have eternal life? He said, believe in me. It wasn't, oh, I need to do something. And it's such a disconnect in the natural mind to us, because we're always in a system of, we got to do something. We always got to do something to validate who we are. We got to do something to validate our status and our love or something. We have to do something. And he says, all that is null and void until you meet me. When you talk to people about Christ, and the first, these are two things they're going to tell you. Either they're going to tell you the saving grace of Jesus Christ through him, or they're going to come in many ways telling you, I have to do works. That's where it's summed up in. Michael Pitta, Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. This is your readiness. Because you're not preaching about somebody. You're preaching, saying somebody you know. It's a difference. Like I said, my sister's here. You know, she knows better than anybody. And if we were to talk about our dad, she would know exactly. But she would know exactly when you don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because we know him. That's what you're doing. So what is happening? They said in the scripture, where is it? In the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the robe that filled the temple. Go to the next verse. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered them face. With two, he covered the feet. And with two, he flew. And he cried out, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you notice the scripture, he always gives an introduction to who he is before he gives a command. He says, I am the Lord your God. Bab, bab, bab. Even here in Timothy, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judges the living and the dead. What do we do with this guy named Jesus? What have you done with him? Is the experience with God, the encounter with God, still from a distance? How close are you drawing to him? That's your knowing. In him, he starts breaking the ideologies that we put in stuff that we put inside our mind. See, I could go in many different directions with this. I can go from a social standpoint about how you can raise your business or something. I can really go there. I can go into how you can have a better friendship. But part about knowing the word of God is knowing it from his eyes, knowing it from his place. I'm getting questions. You hear it all the time. You see it on social media. You see it. Everybody got their little definition of life. What have you been telling yourself? What fable have you told yourself? That's why you have to be ready. Always flowing. Last time I spoke, I talked about, you know, worship being an engagement. That the whole service is nothing more than an outline for God to do something. And if he wants to move, why he needs to move, then we need to be sensitive to it. And many people talk about, well, how do you know when you hear God? How much are you being around him? There's a thing in music, like, you know, playing by ear. It's a faith thing. Like, at first, everything sounds the same. When you learn how to play by ear, everything sounds the same. But when you get closer and you start being around it more and more, you start seeing the distinctions. Can you see the distinctions when a situation comes? He said in Proverbs, the first thing he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is he saying in that first chapter? He's saying, I can go into this, all these things about how to manage your money and all these wise sayings, but the first thing that has to be the anchor is the fear of the Lord. I can tell you about being steadfast, but the first thing is the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The awareness of that his existence. You forget that Solomon, the only reason he got wise is because he sought the Lord. But God told him, do not lose your affection for me. And the minute he did that, everything shambled. Everything broke down. So you're called to be a light. But being a light is about having a connection with him. See, the connection was, the Pharisees thought it was, oh, if I do this, man, to be praised and heaped up. But if you're in connection to God, you don't have to worry about that. If a tree is planted properly, the tree will grow. People will see the tree. So don't worry about that. Most of your transformation will not be seen. Most of this transformation will not be televised. Your transformation will not be seen. Nobody will be like, ooh, you're transforming. Hey, yeah, no. It's not. It's not built in that. It says, they who dwells in the secret place. Most of your things is going to happen in the secret place. Your devotion happens in the secret place. It's not in the outwardness. You know where fear usually comes from? Status. Do not worry what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Eat. How are you going to survive? Where? How are you going to live? What you look like? Didn't you see what happened when don't you see what happened in the garden? When Adam sinned, he had to find a counterfeit. That's what happened. He needed a counterfeit. So he went and got fig leaves. What's your fig leaf? What is your fig leaf? This is null. Devotion is null and void. If the relationship's severed. People are like, man, how do you know you're saved? I had this young lady a long time ago. She was in college and she was saved, but she was doing a lot of work in, she was doing her studies, college studies. She was at UW and she does science and stuff. So they, you know, the workload, I'm not at science, but I know the workload's crazy. Biology, no, you can keep that. But she got caught up in her work. So one day she came to church and it had been a while since she'd been there. And so what happened was she went up to be like, she was second guessing her salvation. And everybody, her friends were like, why did you go up there and you're saved and stuff? And I put it to her this way. I said, you don't have a boyfriend or anything. She was like, no, but if you had a boyfriend and you guys were talking and on the phone and getting to know each other, and then suddenly you stop talking. One day, okay, it happens. 2 days, even 2 days, maybe three. Say 2 weeks. 3 weeks. A month. 5 months. 6 months. Where do you think you're going to be at right there? You're going to be second guessing where you stand with him. Does he even like you? Do you even like him? See, that reassurance is not there because the relationship's somewhere severed. Right now, a lot of us, you know, we've been out of high school I've been out a good 15 years. You know, see? Yeah, put it out there. Like, but 20 years. There's some people I see, I don't even remember their faces. I mean, when we were in high school, hey, I'd be like, hey, what's up? One girl got upset with me because I went in the office. I was like, I know her face, but I just don't. I'm like, oh, never mind. I don't want to go over there because if she says it's not there and then she go off on me, I'm going to be having that dumb look on my face and be like, you know. And so I was like, leave it alone. And then she was like, I know you're going to say hi. I was like, I don't remember you. And I was like, I see the face. You know how you see the face? And that's where some people are. He's an estranged father to us right now. To some people, he's a strange father. When you were born, actually, matter of fact, when we were born in a sin, we are born not knowing our father. He was an estranged father to us. And right now, we're peeling out the layers, seeing a clear picture. See, you don't have to worry about witnessing if you know the person, because all you're doing is clearing out the picture. That's why I don't debate with anybody. I say, you always look at it like a detective, not like a debater. You go, what's the evidence? Oh, well, I feel this way. Okay, but is that the truth? I don't really care too much about your feelings. One time, God gave me this revelation when I was playing. Even sometimes now, I play, and he'd be like, praise me for who I am and not the feeling I give you. So, you know, another disclaimer. So church always, they feel like if they don't feel something, then they didn't have church. That's called sensual Christianity. That's what I'm talking about, that existential system. You're still built off that. So even though you're coming to church, you still built it off the wrong foundation. You're not always going to feel something. You know why people have a hard time making decisions? Because they're always going off their feelings. That's what you're having to get off, the default of the feeling. If your emotions are, if your judgment is always dictated by your emotions, good luck being consistent. It's what you know, not what you feel. It's what's the truth, not how you feel. You know why people defect from the faith? Because they get caught up in their emotions. Right now we're having to do, we have to do a surgery basically spiritually and start learning our word because people are defecting and they're falling into what you call the itching ears. It's the reason why, like especially in the black culture, especially in the black neighborhoods. We know Hebrew Israelites basically feeding off the emotions of the people. It's fed off the emotion. I feel this and it's that and that. So they feed. That's why when I hear them, I can hear carnality. I can hear it. You'll choose an ounce of truth, but then go way off into left field. But to add it closer to the home, what's your false doctrine? What's your fable? What's your fable that kind of comes and goes? I'm not good enough? What's the fable? I don't have enough? Every command is based off of your lack or trust in God. When somebody steals, they're saying, God, you can't provide. I need to handle it myself. And he says, don't covet my neighbor. That's basically saying, why do they have it better than me? That means I don't trust the worth that you've given me. It always starts at the top. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. There's so many tossed around words. Love, that's such a tossed around word. The body has to go back and find out what this love means according to God's eyes now. That is the season now. Every word that you use that is cliche, you have to go back and find out what it means according to the scripture, according to God's law, according to God's ways, his ways and thoughts. Prayer according to his ways and thoughts. There was a word that God gave me, you know, after we, a lot of people got, you know, been kind of sick and stuff in the church and stuff. There was something he told me, he was like, and he was dealing with me and he was like, I'm burning off the dross. You know what dross is? It's basically, you burn off the stuff when you make it gold to purify the gold. Talks about it in Proverbs, getting things out the way. What he's trying to teach us is to learn how to persevere. That's why he's like, oh man, the prayer, he's like, well, you're laying hands and then nothing's happening. He's like, keep doing it. Pastor was talking about it last Sunday. People don't even believe that healing even happens anymore. You've got yourself a little too familiar with God. And there's so many ways and thoughts that you don't even know. That's why you have to stay in pursuit. That's why the song is inspired to draw closer. We grow stale real quick. Right now, he's preparing me to deal whatever season I'm going into. He is getting ready to do something in you guys' lives right now. Just witnessing, no matter in any form. When people come up to you and ask for advice, he's dealing with that. He's dealing with that right now in this season. He's like, I got to get rid of the fables. I got to get rid of the itching ears. I got to get rid of the emotion. It's the hardest time to endure. Because we all have this natural tendency to want God to be what we think he should be instead of who he is. That's all really what happens to a society. Paul makes it clear in Romans 1. for they knew God, but they didn't worship him as God. And then it goes into, oh, now all the laws and stuff that you're seeing, all the things that's happening, all the movements, people, all the isms and schisms, that's what's happening. Because you made him into what you think he is and not what he should be and what he is. We're going to have to go deal with, we have to be ready in season, out of season. We're going to have to be the one to make the dealing with the social problems. Who else is going to do that? No more the knee-jerk answers anymore. You have the answer. And you know who to go to get the answers. There's a season where the body is not going to just always lean on the leadership to be the Bible scholar. You're called to be a Bible scholar as well. Look, I'm not knocking anybody's whatever translation you use or whatever, you know. But it does get to a point where you have to learn how to be diligent and get to the root of what words mean in the Bible. I have no time. You have no time. Wasted. That's what's happening. You're going to go in and out of places because you're the intercessor. That's why you have to stay ready. You know? Right now, I'm having to get into things that deal with Mormonism because I had no clue. So I'm starting to talk to people about what's that? Just in case I have to pull the sword out on them. Just in case I got to do something. Do I got to cut, you know? Not that I got to just start yakking, but, you know, just give them that, you know, slight cut. You know? But that's built on an encounter. That's built on a relationship with Christ. So now it's like your approach. Oh, I read my word because I'm a Christian. No, it's because of a Christian I read my word. I want to know him. People think you got to read a whole bunch of chapters a day. Look, sometimes you just got to steal away. You know why the Sabbath is important? Sabbath is for us, number one. There's people that don't have any rest. You know what it's saying? You know why he tells you to rest? Because you can work all you want, but if he doesn't open the door, it will not open. If he closes the door, he closes it. It's a realization of who's in authority. It's talking about the sovereignty of God. That needs to be established in some of our lives. That's why stress levels are up. That's why Daniel, when he was talking about Daniel, he established off back in Babylon who was in authority. That's why he could obey the king, but it came to a point where you had to stand. Because it goes back to what Jesus said about who do we give out? Do we pay taxes to Caesar? He didn't have a problem. Daniel didn't have a problem rendering to Nebuchadnezzar. But he gave God what belonged to God. That's why he did it. He established off bat. This is a relationship. You're not. When you start messing with my relationship with God, now we have a problem. I obey the laws of the land. I have no problem doing that. See, it gives us insight on what the world is today. He has no problem giving you. God is a God of detail. But can you see the fine lines in the face? When you stare at the face of God, how close is it? When you seek the face of God, how close is it right now? That's why your devotion, that's what you're devoted to. That's where it's built on. The house built on the rock. You're going to have to dig out some sand. I have to. I'm having to. There's some little sandy areas. Reestablish some things that need to be done. And it's not only just in my spiritual life, but it's affecting my practical life. He deals with me. My devotion to my craft. I'd be one to sleep in. I'd be having that. Come on, we have that fear, man. Mornings, you have that fear. You don't feel like getting up in the morning. You'd be like, you want to stay here at this spot? The next day I know, I'd be getting up. You know? You want to stay doing community theater? Get up. You want to still get low pay for your acting? Get up. Do it as unto the Lord. Sharpen your skills. He's like, no, I'm not opening the door. You're not ready. That it's not even that God don't want to open doors. It's just he ain't going to make you face a demon you ain't ready for. You forget, in Israel, they could have went straight through. They had to go around Philistine territory. They weren't ready to fight that one. I mean, I can go any way with this, but this is because I'm telling you what God has spoken. Like, you know, learning how to hear his voice and trust it. A friend of mine was asking me, how do you know? Well, I go to the work. You keep trying to go around this other way. Like, if you do what you're known to do, what he's told you to do, step one, then you will get to step 10. We want, keep asking me the same thing. Well, you know, this stuff. Or, I'm like, once again, what do you want? How do you hear his voice? I've been telling you 1,000 times since the last years I've been knowing you. Read his word. What do you want? People be like, how do you want? It's the same thing. Like, people go to the gym. How do you work out? Easy. It's not that formula hasn't changed. Like Mark was talking about doing push-ups. Yes, this is boring doing push-ups after a while. But if you have a strong why and a strong desire to do it, you will push past the feeling.
Yeah, that's it.
You know how many times I'd be like, one, two, all right. And once you get started, pick up momentum. You know, man, fast is hard. I just don't say nothing. I do like when Jesus is going through a hard time, look what he did. He said nothing. He was not, you know why you don't say nothing when you're going through a hard time? Because you will talk yourself out of doing it. Why do you think Jesus was quiet when he was going to the cross? That was a hard thing to do. Ain't nothing to say anymore. There ain't nothing to say. You ever had those moments when you're walking God? There ain't nothing more to say. There ain't no song that's going to help this. There's no song, no psalms, just silence. You know, sometimes I'd be just, man, the fast, man, it's just darkness in the house. I'd be in the room. Just out. Ain't nothing to say. You know, that's it. That's devotion. Sometimes it's just, man, learn how to be sensitive. Stop finding substitutes. That's what the thing is happening. It's happening in the body, which we're pushing out. It's happening in the world. They're trying to find a substitute. Constantly trying to find a substitute. You know? Finding teachers that'll cater to that. That's why you're there. Light. Intercessing. Bringing the world from the church to the world. What is Christ to you? What is Christ to you? Saved how many years? What is Christ to you? Doesn't matter how many years. There's one more system that I didn't write down. It's the perfection system. I got to be perfect. If perfection is the system, well, we might as well just pack it up, y'all. Might as well pack it up. It kind of goes into line with the not good enough. Your devotion to Christ and understanding the sacrifice he made is paramount. A lot of people still live for God thinking that they got to pay him back. We have this payback mentality. Oh, man, you got me money. Oh, I got to pay you back. No, there's no way you can pay it back. What you do is pay it forward. You know what pay it forward means? Somebody does a nice thing and it changes the character of you. Like, man, you become grateful. You become humble. You're like, you know what? I'm going to leave my life because of all the darkness he didn't took me out of. This is not a debt thing. You are not paying God back. You are here because you want to be here. And it has to be that. That's why when you tell somebody to come to the Lord, you cannot manipulate, you cannot force, and you cannot seduce. It'll backfire. It'll backfire. It's just like in a relationship. You cannot seduce, because the same thing that you use is going to be the same thing you're going to have to use to keep them. That's why cars and money, that's nothing for guys. Cars and money, that's bait. That's bait. But do they know the person? That's why I try to tell people, man, oh, I can dress any way I want. Okay. Yeah, you can. Ability is one thing, but there's a responsibility. So, okay, some young lady to be like, oh, man, I can dress, you know, like that. Okay, that's bait. And it deflects from them ever seeing the real person. So if that's what you're going to cause that, what happens is there's tons of other beautiful women out there. So if that's what draws you, then what's going to happen is they're going to go to the next one who has a better car and a better dress than you do. That's why the salvation, when people come, you could tell them, why are you getting saved? Why you want to be saved? Because you know the war. You've been on the front lines. You know what it's about. You know when you got saved, the enemy came. Soon as you got saved, big enemy hit you. Enemy at the gate. You saw Saving Private Ryan. Soon as they opened the thing, the fire, they start getting fired on. That's what gave me testimony. I was like, oh, something changed. Because this doesn't happen when I wasn't saved. This didn't happen. I can ask anybody in this room. I could throw a rock in the air and you hit you in the head. You say, ouch. Just that's how much. Like if I said, what happened when you got saved? Man, everything, man. Temptation started hitting me. Girl from down the street, man, she never talked to me. All of a sudden, she know my number. How'd you know my number? Oh, man, all these boys want to talk. That's what happens. So when somebody who's coming trying to get saved and you ask them why, ask them why. Not for the sake of just having, don't just have them come up there for the sake of just having members. Because, man, you know what's going to happen. I'm learning this, man, because, man, when you turn when you become a dad, you start asking some real questions, man. And I start getting understanding through, as God being a father, now I'm starting to see things from a father's standpoint. It's like if your kid asks for a car, you'd be like, why you want a car? You know? And if they don't got a good enough reason, don't be asking me. But it's to get the truth out. You know? So when people are trying to get saved, man, take your time. It's about quality, not quantity. Because they will leave quick as they came. Because the trials will come. And you know it. The fight will come. See, this is why I try to keep things light, because this stuff comes like right in front of your face. Like this stuff. Like I ask people questions like those penetrating questions. And that's what you got to tell the world. Penetrating questions. Oh, you believe that? Why you believe that? Oh, you're willing to put your life on that? Everybody feels this. You're willing to put your life on that. You got to ask hard questions. You got to ask hard questions. But you got to ask heart questions. The penetrating heart questions. Not to be mean. You don't have to be mean. Just ask the penetrating heart questions. You got the sword. You poke at the source. When you counsel, you go to the source. You know how many times people have been dressing nothing but symptoms? The church has been dressing nothing but symptoms lately. What's the source? You know the root of anger is usually fear. God dealt with me about one time. He had to give me, when I was, you know, talking to the Lord, he said, what you afraid of? Like I was mad about stuff. You know, issues be happening, and he'd be like, you would think why he would ask, you know, why you mad, but he asks, why are you afraid? What you afraid of? And then you start the thing. Why are you stressed out? What you believe? What fable is told? Who told you this? Man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Who told you that? Who's telling you that? You ever had that? You know when dads are talking to you, get that? You know that? Who told you that? Huh? Who told you that? Like, who told you that? told you you're not going to make it? Who told you you're not strong enough? What fable is it? Your encounter, the point of the source of why we do everything that we do, is built in the encounter. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. We thank you for shining light on things. Lord, we ask as we continue to grow in our faith in Christ, we ask that you continue to just draw us closer to you, that we begin to have an encounter with you more and more, not just here, but when we go to our homes, when we're in our jobs. We need you to flow through us. Like you flow through the apostles, you told them to wait until they receive power, until they received an encounter, Lord. We need more of an encounter with you. Life is too complex. Life gets hard. And we need that more encounter. We need your insight. We need what you have, the words of life. It's in you that we have our being and when, how we move. So as we continue in this conference of devotion, let's continue to always press towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.